Belinda presents this unabridged recording of The House of Cain, written by Arthur W. Upfield and read by John Derham. Chapter 1, The Luck of Wednesday. Everyone in Melbourne is acquainted with the Tribune Building. All the world knows the story of Sir Victor Lawrence, its owner, the man who rose from printer's devil to prime minister and in between somehow amassed a gigantic fortune in journalism. Today he is not prime minister, he makes prime ministers, as a famous Earl of Warwick made kings. When the editor-in-chief of Sir Victor's most important paper, the Daily Tribune, entered his private office on the top floor of the huge building, he found the power behind the throne, seated with his feet on the roll-top desk, a cigar held firmly between his thin, strong lips and his hat tilted at a dangerous angle on the back of his round, bald head. It was 11:30, and Sir Victor had but just dropped in from a theatre.
"Ah, Sherwood, take hold of a chair and a cigar," Sir Victor said in clipped tones. "The forthcoming marriages column was most interesting this morning, most interesting." A meaning smile accompanied these words. The other, a slight, handsome but tired-looking man of 39, drew a chair to the left of the desk, indicating with a motion of a long-fingered white hand that he preferred a cigarette. "Is there anything in the Tribune that escapes your eyes, Sir Victor?" he asked quietly. Sir Victor lowered his feet, removed the cigar from his mouth, but continued to balance his hat carefully. His smile broadened to a grin, a regular schoolboy grin, when he said, "Only the leading article. Why should I waste my time in reading the articles of a man who knows my mind better than I do myself?" There was an implied compliment in the speech, which brought a slight flush of pleasure to the face of the younger man. The birthday knight went on,
"So you have set the day for the 17th, eh? A Wednesday. I always think Wednesday the luckiest day of the week. I was married on a Wednesday. I trust that the years will bring you the luck that one Wednesday 20 years ago brought me."
The little bald-headed man, who looked much like a retired ostler, held out a plump red hand. His small brown eyes glistened with friendly humour. "Thank you," Martin Sherwood said quickly, gripping the plump red hand. "Already, I think, my good fortune has begun."
"Then doubtless you first met your future wife on a Wednesday." "You did? I am glad to hear it. Still, I must say, your notice doesn't give us much practical information, nor indeed much time to prepare for the mighty event. Today is the 11th, and you are to be married on the 17th. You do not say at what church?"
"My doctor forbade me most strictly to do so. He insists on the affair being kept quiet so as to avoid the worrying details and the excitement of a fashionable crush. My doctor, I fear, is a bit of an alarmist."
"He may not be, Sherwood, he may not be," Sir Victor murmured, studying the pale face and the abnormally large dark eyes gazing unwinkingly at him.